I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
We're building bridges.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. We'll rally with labor calling upon the AFL-CIO Federation to support a ceasefire now and to cease its 75-year-old support of Israel's state Zionist policy and practice against Palestine.
And now, labor for Palestine turned out to support the thousands of Palestinian workers detained, imprisoned, or expelled back to besieged Gaza, and rage at the AFL-CIO for what they complain is 75 years of complicity with Zionist settler colonialism, and demand the Federation support a ceasefire, advocate for aid relief to lift the occupation, and for the right to return for a free, free Palestine. Gabriel Morales is with us, and you're with Brand Workers.
I'm with Brand Workers.
Now, we've been covering for years Brand Workers, but you should tell our listeners what Brand Workers is and why are they here. And this is Labor for Palestine protesting against the AFL-CIO. So what brings your organization here?
Well, first of all, Brand Workers, we are a worker center based out of Queens. We support food manufacturing workers to help build strong worker organizations, to help build unions. That's the work that we do out in the community. There's tons of food workers out in New York City that are trying to make better jobs for themselves. We're an organization that is rooted in working class struggle. When we look out into like what's happening right now in Israel-Palestine, what we see is we view Palestine as a working class issue. So when working people are getting killed and genocided, when there's massacres happening, like, we feel like it's a working class issue, so we felt that it was incumbent of us as a working class organization to come out and make a stand and make it known to leaders in the labor movement that it's important for working people in the United States to stand with the working people of Palestine.
And the position of the AFL-CIO, of Liz Schuler?
The AFL-CIO, it's very diverse, and so we stand with the folks that are to the left in the AFL-CIO. There's a ton of movement leaders that are with us right now that are taking a stand, trying to push the entire organization to move towards supporting Palestine and the Palestinian people in their struggle of resistance and their struggle for freedom.
There are many people who say that we've got enough to worry about in terms of unionization here,
right,
in terms of the issues of the working class, notwithstanding the marvelous strides that have been made by Sean Fain and the UAW and so on, and the Kaiser Permanente workers. So why is it that when you say you feel that there's a coalescence between the working class here, workers of the world, unite, and the workers in Palestine, the Palestinian workers, not to mention the workers in Palestine / Israel who have been thrown out, sent back to Gaza now where there's a Holocaust that is in progress. So what is that kind of binding thing? Why should labor have that special workers of the world unite when people would say, hey, we've got enough problems here with the working class?
Well, I think it harkens back to like old U.S. labor movement, like principles and a foundation of like an injury to one is an injury to all. And like that's what we talk about all the time in the labor movement. And I feel like it's important for us as working people, as brand workers, as an organization that mostly is out there standing with immigrant workers in the United States. A lot of folks in this community are Palestinian workers that Brand Workers has seen like in food factories trying to make a living for themselves. And so to say that this is some issue that stands outside of U.S. labor and outside of the interests of U.S. working people is incorrect. There's Palestinians here in the United States that are trying to build lives for themselves. It's really important for us to stand with our membership and immigrant workers in the United States as they try to, fight for the things that their families need.
Tell us where you go with Brand Workers. Is the purpose, do you consider yourselves a union? I know it's a workers' center. Is the issue to contract, or where do you go in terms of working with representing the interests and the betterment of the immigrant workers in very low-paid and ill-serviced as workers industries?
Well, the thing about brand workers is as a worker center, like, you know, obviously there's particularities and peculiarities of U.S. labor laws that, you know, make us take certain positions about, like, what does brand workers do and what brand workers doesn't do. But, like, fundamentally what brand workers does is, like, meet up with people that are interested in work in organizing their workplace and help them and help coach them through a process that, because of how we've structured our society, is very difficult. It's very difficult for workers on the ground to organize their workplaces. And as somebody that's done it myself, that's organized with my coworkers to try to build a union in my workplace, it was always really helpful for me to have a level of, like, support and a level of coaching that I could turn to outside, people that had experience with the work. And so that's what brand workers does. We have very experienced organizers on the staff that'll sit down with workers and help coach them through the process of organizing their workplace. What they do with that information is kind of up to them. Like, we're open to partnering with different mainstream labor unions. We're open to partnering with, like, folks that want to build independent unions. We're open to partnering with folks that want to build with even unions that exist outside of the traditional, like, National Labor Relations Board framework. Like, just for example, like, take, like, the IWW, for example. Open to helping partner with workers so that they can build the organization and the union that they want to create. Brand workers, we ourselves, we are not a union, though.
We want to thank you so much. And what's the slogan from labor today for Palestine?
Throughout the history of the labor movement, it's always been an injury to one is an injury to all. And we see that there are people suffering right now in Palestine, and we stand in full solidarity with them in their struggle.
Perfect.
Thank you.
From the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
We will free Palestine.
We will free Palestine.
Within our lifetime.
Within our lifetime.
My name is Sultana, and I am an organizer with the Amazon Labor Union Democratic Reform Caucus, an independent union of rank-and-file workers and the first in history to win an election at an Amazon warehouse.
Yeah.
I'm here today to unequivocally denounce the ongoing genocide and the 75-year militarist occupation committed by the settler colony Israel against the Palestinian people. The ongoing slaughter of men, women, and children in Palestine is fully backed by the U.S. administration, and both capitalist political parties in this country are complicit in Israel's war crime. The U.S. administration does not speak for the American people. Across this entire nation, across the entire globe, the international community has been mobilizing around Palestinian liberation in an unprecedented way. Today, on the day of national shutdown, activists for Palestinian liberation everywhere are taking direct action through walkouts, sit-ins, speak-outs, and all forms of protest directed at the Zionist institutions which fund, invest, profit, and collaborate with Israel's genocide and the occupation of Palestine. Today, my fellow rank-and-file unionists and I choose to stand in front to demand an end of the ongoing complicity and active participation in Israel's settler colonialist genocide and the repression of Palestinian labor solidarity by this trade union bureaucracy. The AFL-CIO does not serve to protect the interests of the millions of workers it represents, and instead has been imposing the pro-Israeli line of the Biden administration and U.S. imperialism. In a one-paragraph statement published October 11th, the AFL-CIO Trade Union Federation denounced Hamas for unspeakable atrocities and carnage and terrorism. The statement shed crocodile tears about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza without naming its source, the Israeli and American governments. It said nothing about the vile atrocities, mass slaughter, and war crimes being committed by the Israeli military against Palestinian civilians, who have the unequivocal right to resist their colonial occupation. What the statement meant, in not so many words, is that the AFL-CIO bureaucracy fully backs the genocide of Palestinians. Shame.
Shame.
In heeding the direct request of the Palestinian General Federation of Trade Unions, there has been growing support for action to block the transfer of weapons and equipment to Israel amongst the working class in America. One recent resolution passed unanimously by the Thurston Lewis Mason Central Labor Council in the state of Washington declared it was opposed in principle to any union involvement in the production or transportation of weapons destined for Israel. In the resolution, they called on the AFL-CIO to demand an immediate ceasefire and equal rights for Palestinians and Israelis, and resolve to investigate ways our member unions may be participating in this war. The AFL-CIO intervened to overrule this resolution, and President Liz Schuler sent out a memo to all state federations, area and central labor councils, declaring only the national AFL-CIO is authorized to take public positions on national and international issues, and that their position must be clear, consistent, unified, and unambiguous. In other words, only the party line set by the AFL-CIO Executive Council is permissible, and no overt opposition will be tolerated. The unity of the trade union bureaucracy against rank-and-file workers.
Yep.
The union bureaucracies which comprise the AFL-CIO function as extensions of the Democratic Party and the State Department. In addition to selling out workers' day-to-day needs for the last half century, the AFL-CIO has a notorious record of collaborating with the CIA in countless U.S.-backed coups from Guatemala and Iran to Brazil and Chile, and continues to operate on behalf of U.S. imperialism to this day. It is not the Democratic Party or the trade union bureaucrats who will stop imperialist war. The ongoing occupation and horrific genocidal siege against the Palestinian people will only be stopped through the independent and unified initiative of the international working class in solidarity with Palestinian resistance.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Thank you so much, Sultana. Next up, we have the president of the National Writers Union, Larry Goldbetter.
Woo-hoo! It's very good to be part of this act of international solidarity. I'm glad to say that our union was one of the first in North America to issue a public statement against the genocide and against the ethnic cleansing going on in Gaza.
Woo!
Yeah. I also want to bring international greetings from our sister union, the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate. And I was at the PJS Congress last spring. Half of the members of the union had to attend virtually because they weren't allowed to travel from Gaza to the West Bank, participate in the union. God only knows what the situation is now. More than a journalist a day has been killed. More than 50 media outlets have been destroyed. And these are targeted assassinations. Journalists have had their homes bombed, their families wiped out. It's not just getting caught in the crossfire. They're the targets. Very similar to Shireen Abu Akla, who was killed by an Israeli sniper 2 years ago at the refugee camp in Jenin. And 2 weeks ago, the IDF killed her again. They plowed down a memorial to her at the site where she was killed.
Ooh,
they sent the bulldozer in there to plow down this memorial. On behalf of the PJS, NWU, and the 600,000 members of the International Federation of Journalists, we stand in solidarity with the people in Palestine and with the civilians in Israel who are standing up to their government and demanding a ceasefire as well. And while we're making demands on the AFL-CIO, we're not waiting on them.
Yeah.
And I just want to end with this announcement. The 13,000 member ATU local in Washington, D.C., transit workers led by majority black workers, passed the following resolution for a two different membership meeting. Be it resolved that ATU Local 689 calls for an end to military aid to Israel and for a ceasefire in the war against Palestine.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Excellent. Okay. I just want to say a few words as a member of the Professional Staff Congress, CUNY's Union.
Yeah.
We've been fighting in CUNY's Union to adopt a pro-Palestinian position for years. I'm also a member of CUNY for Palestine, which is the federation of activists across the CUNY system, all fighting for the same goal, that we, as teachers in the City University of New York system, and as staff members and as students, refuse to stand by and have our name assigned to the brutality visited on Gaza on the West Bank and on the people of Palestine.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
To that end, we have passed a resolution back in 2021 that stood in solidarity during the sacking of Sheikh Jarrah with the Palestinian people against the Israeli power. Since it's a constant and ongoing struggle, but I'm proud to be part of the group within the Professional Staff Congress that's fighting for the right cause.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I just want to say, as we wrap things up for the day, that I want to put the AFL-CIO on notice.
Yeah.
I want to put the Labour bureaucrats on notice.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Yes.
All right? This isn't even the beginning. We can look around the world today and we can see what kind of fighting force Labour has for showing solidarity with Palestine.
Right.
Belgian ship workers. Italian ship workers.
Yes.
Activists in Melbourne, Australia, shutting down trucks on their way to load zim lines.
Yeah.
These are the sorts of actions that we need to start talking about in New York City. We need to start talking about blocking the boat. We need to start talking about the material change that we can make as labourers in the city of New York.
Yeah. Right.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
We will free Palestine!
We will free Palestine!
Within our lifetime!
Within our lifetime!
Thank you, comrade. Next, we've got a campaigner with Dump Israel Bonds, Stan Heller.
Yeah.
I come down from Connecticut. I've been a member of the AFT, American Federation of Teachers, in West Haven, Connecticut, in the 40 years that I taught, and then in the retired chapter in the last 13 years. I want to talk about some of the practical ways that the unions have been supporting apartheid Israel. And one of it has got to do with money. Your money, dues money, and your pension money. I was at an AFL-CIO convention about 20 years ago that gave out the treasurer's report. Incredibly interesting, as you can imagine. But we did notice, what is this line about Israel bonds? And they had thousands, I forget how much they started with, they had $10,000, $20,000 worth of Israel bonds. And we questioned it that day, and we got a rumph, but we couldn't do much about it. But we persisted. It took us about 5 years, but finally they refused to roll them over. So when it renewed, they didn't renew. So the Connecticut AFL-CIO got rid of its dirty, nasty Israel bond. Later, and this wasn't my effort, but after I retired, members of the union brought in a Palestinian from the Palestinian Union in the West Bank. He spoke. That kind of got things going. And the next year, they passed a resolution saying, oh, you great gods of the leadership of the AFL-CIO, please consider BDS. And that passed. It was a fight, but it passed. They got slapped down the next week. How dare you little people have an idea to even ask us big people to consider getting rid of Israeli investments. So that, you know, deflated things. But there's efforts all over the place. And you ought to ask about your union. I wrote to the AFT in 2009, the National. And then within a couple weeks, they did write back. They said, we have 300,000 invested in Israel bonds. Now, that was then. Who knows what they have now? And how about New York City? How about Mike Mulgrew? Has anybody asked them? I see Teachers for Palestine. I don't know if you're here. But this should be transparent. The union should tell you what they're investing in. So you should form some committee. You should write a letter. It might even be the law that they have to tell you. And maybe people should, when they do these shut them downs, should walk into an office, into an area of the UFT and say, we want to know the information. There's another way. Besides the union taking your dues, the money that gets deducted from the teachers and from state workers, and that goes up to New York State, and in our state, in Connecticut, and they invest that. And in Connecticut, little tiny Connecticut, a year or so ago, they had $100 million invested in Israel. It wasn't just Israel bonds, it was all kinds of things. 200 companies, Israel bonds and shekels. They speculated in currency. So that can be challenged too. And of course, the unions can be talking about it. It's their members' money. Why aren't the unions screaming and yelling? Could there be something else that they could use this money for? Maybe something with jobs in the United States, something that would work. I'm going to end with maybe a chant new to you. We use it up in Connecticut. Rashida Tlaib has been slammed, you know, because she said from the rivers to the sea. And so they say, oh, that means mass murder, genocide, and so on. So we still say from the rivers to the sea, free Palestine. I forget the original. But we go from the river to the sea, justice and equality. So maybe we could try that a couple times. From the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
Justice and equality.
Justice and equality.
From the river to the sea.
From the river to the sea.
Justice and equality.
Justice and equality.
Thank you.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Boycott, divest, sanction, strike.
Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Well, we're not finished marching yet, as we heard from our labor rally, to the thousands rallying and marching to shut it down for Palestine. Let's listen.
Intifada, Intifada.
Intifada, Intifada.
Long live the Intifada.
Long live Intifada.
In New York City. Next up, we have one of the leaders of a five-hour sit-in at the School of Social Work at Columbia University.
A collective of students at the Columbia University School of Social Work hosted a sit-in from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. We demanded Dean Melissa Begg to support calls for a ceasefire. In response, the university threatened students with academic sanctions and suspension. Along with the Columbia University Apartheid Divest Coalition, we will continue to demand the university divest from supporting the Zionist entity. As social work students at Columbia University, our school stresses the importance of using a power, race, oppression, and privilege framework. There can be no doubt we have a duty to unequivocally uphold and recognize Palestinian people's right to self-determination and their right to resist. As social workers, it is instilled into us that we have a duty to uphold the basic rights that ensure dignity and humanity for all people. The ongoing siege in Gaza is not an isolated incident. The occupation of Palestine by the Zionist entity is not a two-sided conflict. Similarly, the targeted suppression of pro-Palestinian student activism on college campuses nationwide, including Columbia University, is not an isolated incident. The movement to support Palestinian liberation is not limited to just Palestine. I want to specifically highlight the example of solidarity from our comrades in Atlanta, Georgia, and the ongoing Stop Cop City movement. As of today, over 60 Forest Defenders are still being held in Fulton County Jail after being indicted on RICO state domestic terrorism charges by the Georgia State Attorney General's Office. For nearly a decade, state and city officials have worked relentlessly to criminalize and suppress student organizing efforts to end the Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange Program, known as GILE. They have gone as far as passing resolutions that branded pro-Palestinian student activists as terrorists, making it illegal for anyone in the state to contract with anything that boycotts Israel, and actively attempting to pass a bill that would equate criticisms of Israel with anti-Semitism. On Thursday, October 19th, the U.S. Senate passed a resolution naming Columbia University and aims to criminalize and censor students who have nationally been calling for an end to the occupation of Palestine. This is notable because while the conservative states like Georgia have historically done the same, this is a federal resolution. These past 4 weeks, there have been active attempts by Columbia University administration and officials to mischaracterize pro-Palestinian activism as anti-Semitism. We must reject the notion that challenges to U.S. foreign policy and advocacy for justice in Palestine are a form of discrimination against our comrades in the Jewish community. Student activism on college campuses has historically been an influential and effective means of political and social change for many generations. We will not be silenced.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
You've been listening to Free, Free Palestine, From the River to the Sea. Keep the pressure on, stay in the streets, and don't succumb to the new McCarthyism that would stifle debate, prevent advocacy, and censor our expression for a free, free Palestine, just as was done and related to by the Columbia University, who spoke last at the thousands strong rally to shut it down for Palestine. The students, just the day after the rally, they were suspended. The student groups were suspended at Columbia. Columbia University on Friday, the day after the mass protest, suspended the chapters of the student groups, Students for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voice for Peace. Our new McCarthyism. But do not bow down. Stay in the streets for a free, free Palestine. From the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
And we continue to build bridges. Thanks for listening. Stay in the streets. Stay in the streets. Ceasefire now. Free, free Palestine.